On today's N is for Networking, we provide an overview of network monitoring, and I love this topic. Building out network monitoring stations is something I have done at several organizations using a variety of different tools over time, and for me, I just think NMSs are fun, network monitoring systems, that is. I love creating a system that models the network and can tell me at a glance how things are going. I am Ethan Banks, and I'm here with Holly Metlitsky. And the format here is to pair up the two of us, the hardened packet veteran, that's me, with the industry newcomer, that's Holly, and exchange information. So if you're new to networking, this is your show. And if Holly and I do our jobs well, you will walk away each and every episode with useful networking information that you can put into practice. Now, by the way, this podcast is now being published on YouTube in Talking Heads format. If you'd like to see Holly and me chatting, go to Packet Pusher's YouTube channel. Holly is pleasant to look at, and I wear a hat. So there we go. Well, Holly, network monitoring is our topic today, and you and I have been chatting in the background. This is not something you've spent a lot of time with, I guess, yeah?
Not really. I think I've worked with tools that do this, but I haven't really thought about it as a thing. It's like just something I expect that everybody has and everybody does, but I haven't set it up, I guess.
Okay. So when you say you've worked with some tools, do you have any examples of things you think of as network monitoring? Even if you don't remember the name of the software, kind of give us some idea of what was going on there.
I mean, I think most of it, like vendor specific to Juniper, or just like general monitoring tools, like perhaps like syslogs or SNMPs, which I don't know if that SNMPs, yes, made sure I had all the letters there. Those kind of come to mind, and just really some sort of platform that is telling you if things are going wrong, or just like you said, getting insight into your network and hopefully taking your pick of what's important to you.
Yeah, because there are, as with anything technical, about a zillion different things you could be looking at monitoring, and not all of them are equally important depending on your specific network and your requirements and the things that might be crucial to your environment. And you can get overwhelmed with information in the world of network monitoring. So okay, so let's back out a second here. Let me give you my rough definition of network monitoring. It is a software platform that is going to monitor the physical network infrastructure. So for example, we can monitor, I'll just give you a bunch of examples here, things like individual ports, like we've talked about switches and switch ports, right? So you could be monitoring a bunch of statistics about an individual port. We could be looking at links between network devices to graph things like bandwidth utilization, maybe. Maybe we're looking at power supplies and fans that are inside of a switch, because you want to know if a fan fails, because that might mean the switch overheats at some point. You could keep track of the number of devices that are associated to a wireless access point. That could be like an interesting metric to make sure you've got good wireless placement and your roaming protocols are working as expected and so on. Maybe the places that devices are visiting on the internet. Those are things that certain devices can log and give you information about that. Maybe you want to know the status of routing protocol adjacencies. Are my BGP sessions up and running? Are my OSPF sessions running? Do I have good neighbor adjacencies? And so much more. This, as you were saying earlier, there's about a million things you could be keeping track of on your network. You can't be doing it yourself by hand artisanally logging into things all the time, and you definitely want to keep an eye on this stuff. So that's the purpose of software like this, to keep monitoring everything that's important to you on the network, and also to let you know when something is going wrong. So how am I doing? Does that make sense?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I think when you think of a network and the complexities and all the things that could go wrong, you definitely need some help making sure that you've got insight into that.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I said in the intro that these were fun because to me, they are. A lot of network monitoring systems, you can build a graph of the network or a diagram of the network, if you will, that actually is an icon that represents something the network monitoring system is tracking for you. And it's clickable and you can click in and then see statistics and graphs and things that are interesting and log events and all kinds of stuff like that. So it kind of feels like you're in command, you're in control of this thing. As you can see this network, there it is all laid out in front of you. And if you really set it up well, it's this bird's eye view, this top down view of the network in real time. You know what's going on, close to real time. We're gonna talk about that. So here's the next question, Holly. Now you work at Juniper. You've seen some of the various Juniper systems that perform functions like this, and it sounds like to you it's more of a mostly a black box where it just kind of happens and it shows you stuff. Or do you have some clue of what's actually going on the back end to make it happen?
Some of the things I do, some of the things I don't.
Okay.
Yeah, because I think there's certain things that I have set up and dealt with hands-on that I understand how we are pulling that data into our systems to analyze that. Okay. And the other things I'm like, oh, pretty dashboard. Not sure how it got here, but I'm happy to look at it.
Okay. So I guess we got to get into the magic then of what a network monitoring station actually does. Do you know what I mean by a network monitoring station?
Yes, and I guess from what you've said, it's the software, but when I think of a station, I usually think of a physical platform or device.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Which one?
It can be both, all depending on what the system is. But generally speaking, what we're talking about is some kind of software that is running on a Windows server or a Linux box. And its job is to reach out to the network devices, communicate with them, pulling statistics, digest those statistics, and then put them on the screen in whatever their user interface is in a way that's helpful to you. A pretty common display is a graph where you can see over time the bandwidth utilization of an interface. That's maybe the most common network monitoring kind of a graph you would see, bandwidth utilization over time. It's software running on some kind of an operating system you're familiar with, you know, Windows, Linux, Mac, I suppose. Now, some network monitoring solutions do come with their own hardware. They're pre-packaged. Yeah. Or it's a software solution you're running on a server, but there's little hardware probes that you put into different places on the network because maybe you want to see the perspective of network statistics from your branch offices. And so you put a little probe out in each branch office and they report back to the central server software that's doing the monitoring, gathering all those statistics. So that's why I said you can have both, all depending. Mm-hmm. There's a company called NetBeez, NetBeez. NetBeez. They have probes, if I remember right, it's on little Raspberry Pis, and you actually deploy these little guys anywhere you want to do specific network gathering, for example. But that's not, it's common. I was going to say it's not common, but it's not the typical deployment, I would say. Where do you have physical offices where you want to monitor things? That probe approach is really interesting. But more commonly, what you see is just a piece of software that is sitting in a central location that is reaching out to your network devices and pulling information from them. If you've got a really big network, you might have more than one of deployment of these software. They'll all work together. They'll all be part of the same system, but maybe you have one deployed in North America and one deployed in Asia Pacific and so on. So you may deploy them regionally based on where your offices and where your networks are scattered around the globe. Or you've just got a bunch of big networks in North America. And so you put one in each city where you've got a significant network, rather than reach out across the global land to do all of your polling. So there's a bunch of different ways the network monitoring systems can be deployed. In its simplest, it's a single instance of software that reaches out to your whole network. But the bigger you are and the more you need to scale, the more objects you're actually pulling statistics from, then maybe you end up with multiple instances of this system that all work together to present you that user interface view. All right, now how did I do?
Yeah, I mean, makes sense. But I mean, the question that springs to mind immediately is, I don't know if I want to be looking at everything. So within these softwares, I'm assuming that you can configure what you want to be polled or what information you want to get feedback on, because there's a lot.
Yeah. Yes. And when you say everything, I mean, if you've never dug into this topic before, everything is such an astonishingly overwhelming amount of information, potential statistics, many of which are numbers you can pull and go, I don't even know what this means. What is this even telling me? Why do I care about it? So do you pull literally every sort of thing on every device in the network? I mean, no, you start with, so you'd start with the basics, right? You would start with things like, I want to know up, down status, red light, green light, we call it. Is this network device up, or is it no longer responding? It seems to be dead or down or unreachable. Something bad has happened. You want to know that. That's fundamental, right? If your network is all green lights, well, I can reach everybody. Everybody's online. It doesn't mean everything's working perfectly well, but I mean, you at least know everything's out there and everything is reachable because all the icons are green, each icon representing something, a critical network component in your environment. A router, a switch, a firewall. Those would be like fundamental objects that you might be tracking in your network monitoring system. So red light, green light for sure. And then you get into questions like, all right, so we have a bunch of switches out there. And all of our switches, let's say they're, I don't know, closet switches that have 48 ports apiece on them, or 52 ports apiece, yeah. 48 ports that face and the computers and access points and so on. And then four ports that are used for uplinking to something else, maybe. That's pretty common kind of a configuration. Do I want to monitor all 48 plus, you know, four ports on there times however many switches I have out there, and all of a sudden I'm monitoring hundreds or easily thousands of ports if you've got a network of any scale? Maybe, you know, it depends. But you have to decide what's important to you. And maybe you do pick and choose. I only care about the six ports on this switch because they're uplinked to access points. And I want to see the traffic. I want to be able to graph the traffic flowing in from those access points across that switch port. Maybe that's an important metric to you. But the other 40 whatever ports on that switch, I don't care about that. I'm not gonna track those. You can be that granular. You can pick and choose what you want to graph, what you want to track, and so that you're only getting the information that you're really concerned about, and that's going to help you in a troubleshooting scenario or help you with a goal like capacity planning. This is another main use case for network monitoring. Hey, do I need to upgrade the WAN circuit between Boston and New York? Maybe. How do you know? Well, we've noticed that over the last 6 months, traffic month over month has been increasing by 4%. And at the end of the period, we were at a steady 44% of utilization, and tracking that out, we're seeing, you know, some spikes and we're congesting the line. We should probably upgrade that circuit. That's the idea of capacity planning. A network monitoring system can give you hard data so that you know, aha, this truly is a problem that we're running into from time to time. We have steady use of 44%, spikes up to 80, 90, 100% from time to time. We probably need a bigger pipe.
Can it give you any other information in terms of, So I'm getting all this information. I'm monitoring it all. But how do I know if it's good or bad? Sure, like you said, the percentage of utilization of my WAN link is increasing. But I have to be astute enough to look at that and to notice this and then to make the change. Where I would love a system that's just like, hey, check this out. You should probably look at this. Something's a bit different or something's going wrong, or, you know, more like alerts to, I'm getting all this information, but this is what you need to be looking at.
So there's a twofold answer to that question. One is, what's normal for your network and what's acceptable for your network may not be the same for someone else's network. So there is a bit of, it depends. So the two components are, one, you as a network engineer are going to know what's normal for your network. You know that we don't really need to upgrade that circuit. Yeah, it gets super high capacity between 2 a.m. and 4 a.m. because there's a backup that's impacting that line, but that's actually fine. That doesn't impact the production network. Whereas on someone else's network, oh, absolutely, that's not acceptable because, you know, reasons. So there's a, you as the network engineer being knowledgeable about the traffic patterns in your network and knowing what's going on and what's good and bad. So then the second component here is your network monitoring station is probably going to be able to do some sort of statistical analysis and can flag when you've got a deviation from what it considers normal. Like, whoa, we went from pretty normal average bandwidth that I've been tracking for months and months, and I know that this line hovers around, you know, this many errors that happen over the course of time, or this much bandwidth utilization over the course of time, and we're way outside the bounds all of a sudden. We started getting a rapidly increasing error count, or bandwidth is way beyond the normal baseline, and you can have an alert be flagged for that. A lot of network monitoring solutions will offer a feature like that, and then will alert you. So that's another piece of this, is you can get alerted by a network monitoring station. That's a, it's a key piece of it, because you, as a network engineer, keeping track of what's happening on the network is not your full-time job. It's an important part of your job, but it's not all you do. So you don't, you're not going to sit there and stare at the NMS screens all day going, hey, that looks weird, I'm going to check that out. You need, you need an alert to fire off and let you know in email or in something like PagerDuty or ServiceNow or whatever it is that you're using. Splunk with logging and so on. There's lots of ways that you, means that you might get alerted. And the network monitoring station will kick off an alert. Hey, rapidly increasing error count on this. Or it's tied into Slack. That's a common thing now, where you've got some kind of a chat interface, so the chat ops approach, where you get flagged in Slack. Hey, so-and-so, I, the network monitoring station, just noticed this event that seems pretty unusual and something you should know about. Or you've programmed the alerts too. That's another part of it. You've told it what you want to know and what you don't want to know. Some alerts, I mean, if you alert on everything, oh man, there's so much noise. You're like, I don't care about 97% of these. And because you don't care about 97% of the alerts, the remaining 3%, you don't notice either, because you just like, your brain's like, it's just noise. I don't care. I don't want to know. And you might need to know stuff. So you can get into really granular tuning of your alerts so that you're getting good information there.
So, I mean, in order to get this right, you've got to understand your network. You can't go in and throw in a monitoring station and just say, hey, tell me everything, when if you don't have the understanding of, like you said, the baseline of how things work, it's just going to kind of be noise.
Yeah, very much. And there is an art in knowing what's worth monitoring and what's not, that comes with experience. If you were the network engineer involved in standing up that part of the network, hey, we bought a new office building and we need to cable it up for our environment, and we're going to do switches, and we're going to do, we're going to have a small data center in the basement, and we're going to do a bunch of wireless access points, and you build that whole thing, then you kind of know what you want to monitor because you built it. It can be a lot harder walking into an environment you didn't build and be like, okay, what have we got around here? and no one really knows. You kind of got to figure it out. And then you got to make sure the network monitoring system is tuned in a way that makes sense. So it's nice when you're doing a greenfield build, that is, you're starting from scratch. You really have a good sense of what goes in there as the network engineer. But when you inherit a network or you do a refresh on an existing network, and there's pieces and parts that are there that are going to stay and some parts are being replaced, it can be a bit more challenging. Mm-hmm. And you gotta really think it through. But right, it is, you don't go into a network monitoring station and just say, hey, discover the network and monitor all the things. It's a much more intent. I mean, you can start that way, but mm-hmm. I mean, it is a much more intentional process to get that thing tuned. So it's really helpful to you in your environment. I would say what your goal is that you want to have your network monitoring station tuned such that when there's an outage, when something is broken, there's a network down condition or it's a capacity overload, whatever it is, you can quickly get to root cause analysis. That is, what is the problem actually? What is the issue? You want that user interface of your network monitoring station to help you get to root cause analysis very quickly. Or in the case of very modern network monitoring stations, it might have AI that can ingest all of the telemetry from your network and actually tell you what it thinks root cause analysis, what the root cause is based on its analysis. So root cause analysis is kind of a big deal and to me, that's not the only point, but maybe the most crucial point of a network monitoring station. You want to be able to get to what you call MTTI and MTTR, mean time to innocence and mean time to recovery, if you've got problems going on out there. Either the network is innocent and you can demonstrate why you know it's not, whatever the problem is, it's not the network, or, oh crap, it is the network. We just lost that circuit between Boston and New York or wherever it is. And we just failed over to the slower internet pipe or whatever the case may be. So you can start working on how you're going to fix it, how you're going to make things better.
Yeah. What's interesting about those two metrics is I've actually worked with a customer to see the cost value of time taken to get to that MTTI and MTTR. And you would be shocked at just couple extra hours if you don't have something monitoring correctly and getting you to that root cause analysis, just the financial burden of time lost trying to troubleshoot your network. And it was fascinating.
When you did that, those financial measurements, was it, hey, we know if we're down, we're losing X dollars an hour? Was it that sort of a metric?
It was both. If we're down, this is how much we're losing. And we're down, we need to pull in all of these people and like cost per hour of them working to fix the network and not actually doing their job. And when you combine those two things, it just skyrockets. Like every hour just grows exponentially.
Yeah, those are great exercises, because even though it's an inexact science to actually figure out those numbers, you can actually get to something that's solid enough that it's meaningful. So a business stakeholder, someone in the C-suite who's in control of budgets and is trying to decide, do I spend the money on this thing? How do I know it's worth it? That can be a way to demonstrate that ROI, that return on investment. Investing in this software is worth it because it's going to reduce my MTTR by X amount. And then I've saved money on I can keep pushing transactions through the network, and that's how we make our money. I don't have to tie up all these hours of manpower. They call it, is it person power now? I don't know. Is manpower the wrong? No, that's the wrong word, Holly.
I don't know. We've been doing away with DEI, so I don't think it matters.
Oh, 2025, you've been such fun. Oh boy. So I'll throw out a couple of other or several other capabilities that your network monitoring platform might have, all depending on what it is and what it's focused on, because they're not all the same. There's lots and lots of software in this space that are out there, but other capabilities might include application performance monitoring, which takes you really above the network stack. And if we're talking like the OSI model, Like if we think of the network layer, we kind of care about layers 1 through 3 when we're talking about network monitoring for those of us who are network engineers. Then stuff above that, maybe we don't care about it as much because, I know the network is carrying the traffic. I don't care what the traffic is. Well, application performance monitoring does care about the application itself. So layer 7. And whether or not the app is working. So it can answer questions for you like, can I log in? Can I get to a specific page? Can I see results that I'm expecting to see? And can I do all of that in a timely fashion? So can I get to a website? Yeah, but can I log in? Well, no, because the web server is returning a 500 error because it's broken.
Yep.
And so rather than getting the login screen, you get a 500. And oh, no, that's bad. And APM, application performance monitoring. Well, there's another term for that, I think, too, that I'm forgetting. But APM, I know, can tell you that stuff. And it does it with what they call synthetic transactions, where you've configured it to, hey, every 5 minutes, I want you to go pretend to be this user, log in and try to download this page and, you know, check all these things along the way. You know, it'll tell you stuff like that. Some network monitoring tools specialize in monitoring networks you don't own, like the internet. How do you monitor the internet? You don't own any of the routers that are out of the internet. So it's not like you can pull some rando router out there that your traffic happens to be going through and go, hey, how's your interface health? Yeah, it's not, you don't have the authentication, the credentials required to do such a thing. But there are software tools that are very good at figuring out all kinds of things about the internet and internet routers and the border gateway protocol, BGP, sessions on the internet, and telling you things that you need to know that, that otherwise you wouldn't be able to figure out. You know, it's pretty cool. And that space is called IPM, Internet Performance Monitoring.
What's the use case for that? I mean, again, kind of proving that maybe it's not a you problem and it's a wider spread issue, or how does that fit in to like a personal network engineer's life?
I would say in the last 10 years, what's happened is there's been so much migration of applications to the cloud, and the way you get to the cloud is across the internet. Yeah. So you want to know, is the cloud slow or is the internet slow between me and the cloud? Why does performance of my SaaS application or the app I'm running of my own up in AWS or whatever it is, why is it sucking?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, a tool like this can help you figure that out. It's the internet. It happens to be that you're going through a major data center in Manhattan and that router is slow. It's just dog slow. There seems to be an outage. It can tell you things like, I'm trying to reach this particular service, but the BGP route was hijacked by either a malicious actor or just someone who misconfigured a router, and all of a sudden they're announcing a route that they can't actually support, but because of where you are on the internet, where they are on the internet, it looks like you should be sending that traffic to them, but now it's not getting delivered, and it can tell you, there's a BGP hijack in progress, and that's why. And then you can go back to the rest of your IT team and or management if they're paying that close of attention and go, okay, here's the issue. We can't control this. It's not us, so to speak, but we do know what the problem is. Sometimes you can escalate to your provider and go, hey, our monitoring system is seeing this. Can you guys verify that that's the case? Is there a way you can route us around? Maybe you can help us work through the problem. So it's a lot of cloud stuff. And then the other use case, Holly, is software-defined WAN. Those sorts of networks where, again, going back 10, 15, 20 years, a lot of companies, most companies would build out their global WANs over private infrastructure. You'd go to your carrier and go, give me a private MPLS circuit. Nowadays, we're not doing that. It's expensive and slow to go that way. So instead, we typically use the internet, which to interconnect all our remote sites. Well, yeah, but we don't own the routers between us and our remote site that we're connecting to via that software-defined WAN tunnel. How do we know what's wrong? Well, IPM, Internet Performance Monitoring, will tell us that, that kind of thing.
Yep.
Good?
Makes sense. Yeah.
Good. You're nodding. Okay, good.
I forgot about the cloud. The minute you said that, I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, and it's, and we're not getting away from it, even though there's been all this talk about, oh, we're coming, we're leaving cloud. Cloud's too expensive. Nah. You're still going to be using SaaS services. You're still going to be using some amount of infrastructure as a service up there and everything in between as well for some things, even if you bring some stuff back on premises. So, another thing your NMS might do for you is flow collection, flows. So flow data is a specific kind of data you can get out of your network devices. And those come in the form of flow records. And so you need a device that knows how to parse a flow record and make sense of it. Cisco will send you NetFlow records. Juniper's got, I believe they call them JFlow records. And they may also support S-Flow, which is a different type of flow record, and then yet another one, which is called IPFix. All those are different flow record formats. A flow being, hey, between this IP address and this IP address, we saw this much traffic flow across this TCP port. And so you know, oh, okay. So it's not a packet by packet thing, but it's like we had this flow between these two endpoints and a record is created based on the network device observing that flow go through it. A flow collector, which might be part of your network monitoring station, can digest all of those flow records and give you nice graphs and report information about those flows. And it can be very, very helpful, very insightful. There's another kind of monitoring that you might be doing with your NMS, and that is it will tell you security and vulnerability state of your network infrastructure. So there's a company called Backbox that does this. And there's several companies that do it, but Backbox comes to mind as I've spoken to them pretty recently. They'll scan all your network devices and go, hey, the version of the network operating system you're running has a known vulnerability. You should patch it. You know, things like that, yeah. I can tell you. And then your NMS might do backing up of configuration state. I had set up a platform back in the day to every night go out, grab the current configuration and save it. And if there's a difference between yesterday's config and today's config, I want you to send me a report with the diff, the difference between yesterday's and today's, so I can see what changed. And that way, this was a smaller network and I was doing most of them. So I kind of knew like, wait, that just changed. I didn't change that. What is happening right now? And then I'd have to think about, you know, what was going on, or, oh, that's the change I put in. I remember seeing that, you know, two thumbs up. That's great. There you go. There's a big kind of overview of the world of network monitoring. I'm sure I forgot some stuff that some of you listening, thanks, you didn't mention the thing. I'm sorry. Yeah, but there, I'm just trying to give you a big picture here of the world of network monitoring. Yeah. So what do you think? Are you intrigued? Does this sort of thing appeal to you?
I love metrics. I mean, as an engineer, the only way you know that things are going right or going wrong is by getting some sort of feedback. And if you can put that into a nice graph or great dashboard that you can now interpret the data, I mean, there's really nothing better. So it's very satisfying.
And helpful. I also want to, it is definitely helpful. And again, for me, fun. I love making these sorts of systems. Now, I want to point out, you and I, before we started recording, said, oh, this will be kind of a short one, we think. Okay, we're at 33 minutes. We still have a couple of questions to go through and talk about. Although this next one will be quick. I did want to just share a bunch of product names out there so that people listening kind of hear these company names will know, oh, I can get this done with these folks. So first of all is the one you mentioned near the top of the show. Every vendor, like you work for Juniper, every vendor's got some form of network monitoring solution. Some of them may be very narrow. Oh, you use this product and we're going to sell you this tool, this monitoring tool that works with that product. So back in the day, I was a Cisco Wireless LAN administrator, and you didn't have to buy their management software, but we did because it made dealing with all of the infrastructure way easier. So, I mean, that system was a wireless LAN controller, or actually multiple wireless LAN controllers, and we had, I don't know, however many access points we had. And to configure that system, using their monitoring and management. It was also a management tool. It was just slick. You could do things like, I need to build a new SSID that is going to be used for guest internet access only. You could build all that in the tool, click the go button, and it would push all that out there rather than log into the wireless LAN controller, look at the command line interfaces, type all the commands. It would just do it, and it would also monitor everything for us. So we kind of knew all the APs are online or they're not online, and tell us things like how many clients are associated to an access point and, you know, and that kind of stuff. Anyway, that's just an example, and I'm mainly making the point every vendor's got their form of network monitoring tool or probably tools. Juniper's got a bunch of them. There are several in this world. You guys have got Apstra. There was the monitoring framework tool. I've forgotten the name of it. I used to have it. Space? Is that still a thing? Juno Space? I don't even know if that's still a product anymore.
I think it is. I think it's changed a bit from what it used to be, but it definitely still exists. I know there's also like products within products where, you know, everything has become kind of subscription based. And I think a lot of the vendors nowadays, you know, you can get Juniper Mist or you can get Meraki or you can get whatever, everybody's cloud platforms. And then, with this subscription, you can add this monitoring tool and add that subscription. It's another monitoring tool. So sometimes it's a bunch of add-ons for different things that you may want to monitor. And that comes back to, you know, understanding what you need to be looking at.
Exactly. There's a historical footnote I want to mention, because when I was up and coming as a network engineer, everybody that had a big network ran the platform for network monitoring. If you were serious, you had HP OpenView. Oh, baby. This thing was the behemoth, the 800-pound gorilla. You've got OpenView? Oh, you know, hushed tones and your reverence as you, because you knew that thing needed a monster server to run. And it was like, are you serious? You guys have OpenView. Wow. It was the thing. I don't even know if OpenView is a product at this point, but
I've never heard of it. So before my time,
again, it really is a historical footnote, because like I said, back in the day, it was the thing. And I saw a bunch of HP OpenView tended to be the foundation for network operating or network operations centers, a NOC. Like if you had a dedicated NOC, like the kind of the bridge of the enterprise room, you dedicated a room to monitoring the network because the network was your company and you had a NOC just for that, you probably ran an OpenView, at least back in the day. Nowadays, you got lots of options, but NOCs are cool, by the way. If you've never been in a dedicated NOC, they're the best. They are so cool. You walk in, you got a front wall filled with screens that telling you all this super key information. You've probably got a bunch of clocks with time zones, because if you're that big and bad, you've got at least a national, if not international, network. And so the time zones matter to you. And they're awesome. And I worked with incredibly smart network engineers who spent their lives devoted to the NOC and to reacting to any issues that came up on the network and troubleshooting problems for customers. NOCs are where it's at, baby. That was super cool to be in environments with NOCs. If you've never been in a NOC and you're out there listening, you have a chance to like tour one or something like that, do it. It's really cool. 100%. Really, really cool. All right, now let's go beyond history to some commercial tools that you will find. Today, this is not going to be a comprehensive list, because I just came up with a bunch that I knew off the top of my head. If we were to try to come up with a comprehensive list, that would take forever. There's so many products in this space. But one that was in the news recently, within the last several years, because they got hacked so bad, was SolarWinds. SolarWinds Orion, that platform was kind of the de facto, and it still is for many companies, even though they had that bad press because of their supply chain attack from several years back. They're still there, still doing the thing, still a good product. SolarWinds was all about network monitoring in a bunch of different arenas. You could buy different modules for it depending on what you're looking for. There was the core NMS product. They also had a network performance monitor module. There was a flow collection module. You could do backing up of configurations with it and a bunch of other stuff. But SolarWinds is out there as the company Broadcom bought has they've been buying a lot of companies. You might think of Broadcom first as making chips for switches and other devices, right? Like a silicon company. In fact, there's some Broadcom chips in any number of Juniper switches. I'd have to go look at product lines to see which is which, but I'm pretty sure that's the case. Broadcom bought a network management company called CA Technologies, and that product is called DX Spectrum and still exists. And Spectrum has roots going back to a company called Enterasys. Prisma Spectrum was the name of the product. I said Enterasys because there was another, more history, Holly. There was a company called Cabletron. You ever heard of Cabletron?
Yes.
Okay.
Someone at some point has
mentioned Cabletron because back in the 90s, early 2000s, they were huge. They were going to conquer Cisco. They were going to take on the world. Well, long story short, they ended up getting broken up into multiple companies. Enterasys was one of them. Aprisma was another one. Aprisma took the management software that became Spectrum. That eventually got bought by, I don't know if I've got the chain of custody correct here, but I think they got bought by CA, who then got bought by Broadcom. But anyway, there you go. There's another big tool out there. Tends to be for really big networks. Something that anybody could comfortably run is a Paessler. I think they're a German company. Paessler's PRTG product. Oh, PRTG, something traffic graph. I don't remember what the acronym stands for, but
cannot help.
Paessler is out there for you. Manage Engine has a product called Op Manager. A company called ExtraHop has a product called Reveal. There's a product called AKIPS, AKIPS. Catchpoint, we were talking about internet performance monitoring before. We've been chatting with Catchpoint recently on Packet Pusher because they've been a sponsor. Catchpoint is all about showing you what's going on in the internet when you can't monitor the internet directly. Well, Catchpoint knows all kinds of things. They can help you. And related to that, Cisco has bought a product called ThousandEyes several years ago. ThousandEyes is also in that IPM space. And again, many, many more as you dig around different tools with different specialties. And those are all commercial tools that I mentioned. And you're like, oh crap, commercial tools. I mean, I got to buy them. I don't want to buy an Ethan. I'm poor and I'm trying to learn this stuff. Isn't there anything I can play with for free? Why, yes, there is. So many things you can play with for free. There is a whole bunch of open source tools relating to network monitoring that you can download, fire up, and make it do the thing. If you go to packetpushers.net, there's a resources page. Just look in the toolbar under resources, and there's an open source networking tools list there. And I'll just rattle off a bunch of product names. Libre NMS. There's one called NEDI, NEDI. NetDisco is another one. NMIS is one. Observium is out there. There's one called OpenWisp. There's Zabbix. And again, many more. And a lot of these are useful not just for monitoring network devices, but also servers. Because did you know you can monitor servers, Holly?
Yes, that I did know.
Yeah, so just like you can monitor a router or a switch, you can also monitor a server for all kinds of metrics and find out all kinds of crazy things. And a lot of these open source tools will do that for you in addition to your network monitoring infrastructure. Or some of them are maybe better at monitoring servers and network infrastructure. Yeah, they're not so good at that, as the case may be. You just got to poke around at this stuff and see what it does. So lots of fun to play with all of these kind of things. So maybe we should close up, Holly, with a couple of like big picture questions. And one is this: how does network monitoring interact with other kinds of monitoring that an IT team might be doing? So if you're a database administrator, you might be monitoring your database in a particular way. If you're a storage admin, you care about how your storage arrays are performing and might be monitoring that. So how does network monitoring fit in? Do you have any, just as you're pondering this, you got any thoughts or gut reactions?
I mean, when I think about it, like your network is fundamental for everything else to be running correctly. So at a very simplistic layer, you're not going to be able to access any of the data that you're monitoring if your network's not working correctly. So, you know, that connects then perhaps, you know, there's some things that you want to be monitoring for the speed at which you can access your data or the storage or whatever else.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And that's what's maybe unique about networking if you ponder it from a standpoint of looking at your whole IT stack within your company. Networking, if your network has a problem, the blast radius can be more significant than just if a particular storage array has a problem, or if a particular database server has a problem, or if one of your cloud services is underperforming. Those tend to have a more scoped blast radius. That is, it's probably going to affect a service or a small number of services, depending on what is wrong and where it's wrong in your network. You could have impact on every application on your network, or it's a failing switch in a closet, and now everybody that is in the building plumbed to the network via that closet switch that's having a problem is now struggling. Everybody that's on that floor associated to those access points, hanging off that switch, everybody plugged into that switch direct. Again, blast radius is the key here. And so network monitoring can deeply affect everything else that's happening in your company, all depending on the issue. And so you want your network monitoring system, going back to that MTTI, MTTR metric, you want to know that it is or is not the root of the problem.
Yeah.
As quickly as possible, because many people who are in IT, if they don't work on the network and they can't figure out what the problem is, they'll go, it must be the network.
It's always the network.
What did you change on the firewall? I can't tell you how many times I'd get that question. Hey, I'm having this problem. What did you change on the firewall? It's like, we didn't change anything. Come on, tell me what the problem is. Let's figure it out together.
Gotta be the Wi-Fi. I'm like, but you're not on Wi-Fi, so it can't be the Wi-Fi, but thank you.
Or even better, I actually saw this pop up on the Packet Pushers community Slack channel. Someone was just... one of their C-level executives was on a big all hands meeting across Zoom, and I guess it wasn't performing well for some reason. And he's like, "Yeah, our Wi-Fi here at the company is crap," something to that effect. And it's like, "Well, I mean, really, you just said that for the whole company, our Wi-Fi is crap?" When in fact, the network engineer in question knows the Wi-Fi isn't crap. It's actually, you know, a pretty solid solution. It's not like it's been struggling and really needs a refresh. It's actually pretty good. And it's like, but don't say that unless you know that's the problem. Now everybody in the company thinks the Wi-Fi is crap around here.
Every time something's not working, then you're getting IT tickets, and it's like, it's not us guys. My NMS is telling me.
The NMS should be your tool that tells you everything is okay, or that you can query to be sure that it's okay. It should be that platform that you can interact. Maybe you're not sure. How do you find out? Do you log in devices one at a time? Well, no, you want your NMS to be that central repository of information, because really sometimes it is the network. It genuinely can be, of course. People cry wolf often enough that network engineers reflexively go, it's whatever it is. I know it's not the network, so go away. But sometimes it is. And you want the tool that's going to help you nail down exactly what's going on. So I put it this way also then, since you've got a bunch of other monitoring systems in your company, and maybe you've got a system like Splunk that is aggregating logs and is running different applications to tell you what's going on the network, your network monitoring system should be able to trigger alerts in other systems in your company, maybe interact with those other systems, log to Splunk or, you know, whatever your centralized logging tool is, open up a ticket for you in ServiceNow, or I've detected this circuit is down. And bang, opens up a ticket, and that ticket now that exists in ServiceNow kicks off a workflow, and and all of a sudden there's people on it, you know, working on the issue. It could be that it would be nice if your NMS could kick off a packet capture in response to an event. Oh, we got a log of this security event. I'm going to kick off a packet capture, or the the NMS kicks off a packet capture for you so that you can do some forensics and have those packets on hand. There's NMSs that can do that sort of a thing. So you want to think of your NMS not as something just for the networking team, but as something that everybody in the company can use, whether those other IT people, maybe you build an executive dashboard that they don't understand networking, but they understand business transactions. Mm-hmm. And they need to know things like we can or cannot process orders in our storefront. And maybe the executive dashboard could tell them that sort of thing, even though it's not network specific. You think of the network management system as a tool that can inform everybody in the company what's going on, as long as you set it up to present the information in a way that they can consume. The average IT person maybe doesn't understand what out discards on an interface means. But if you present the information in a way that this interface is overloaded and we're throwing transactions away, people know what that means, you know, because that's more closer to plain English than out discards as a this weird metric thing that's climbing. What does that mean? Out discards. I don't know what that means. That's hard. It's hard to do that. You have to, as a network engineer, understand the business and know how to present information the business cares about in that scenario. But you can, with certain NMSs, do that, whether that's just integrating events or actually building custom dashboards.
And I think the way this is all working is transforming a little bit. With the tools and maybe a bit of AI, ML stuff. I don't want to just throw that out there for the sake of it, but actually...
Oh, everybody else does. Throw it out there.
Yeah, but if you're gonna use it in the actual term, but it's like we discussed a network engineer knowing the baseline of how the network should be functioning, right? But now you've got algorithms that can learn that. And you know, machine learning algorithm can learn how your network should be functioning at a base level and identify anomalies from that. And I think that's where it becomes really, really helpful that you don't have to be monitoring your network. You don't have to be waiting for like something to go wrong. It's monitoring that base level. And immediately as something goes wrong, it'll tell you. And perhaps you don't even have to decide what you want to monitor because it's looking at everything and it understands what, you know, like you said, that WAN link example. Okay, this is what it usually is. And perhaps it already knows, it's learned that on Tuesday evenings, we get that spike. So that's actually not an anomaly. That's just how the network functions. And that's really, really helpful. And I think hopefully we kind of moving towards proactive troubleshooting where before it affects clients or, you know, things break, it's, you know, kind of before that becomes a widespread issue. But I don't know, we're a bit far away from that. But I think we go in that direction.
Well, we are and we're not. I mean, like, I completely agree. Machine learning algorithms applied to networking data sets is increasingly a thing. A bunch of customers, a bunch of vendors that are in that space offering that service to their customers. So Selector.ai comes to mind. They're one. Juniper Mist, you guys with the Mist AI portfolio has been very well regarded by folks that have used it. And you're exactly right. Proactivity is where it's coming up. So one of the examples I've heard by the Selector team is like, we can predict that an optic is gonna fail. It hasn't failed yet, but it's gonna because, and then they can give you various metrics that they can detect that wouldn't show up as an error, wouldn't show as a problem, but because there are these changes that it's seeing in the statistics of that optic, it can be like, you're gonna have to swap this thing. And if you can swap it before it becomes a problem, then you're in better shape. Proactivity is way better than reactivity, but it's hard. It's hard.
Very hard.
So, but I think AI ops is the future. I really do. I think that's coming. There's so many great products that have come to market that are demonstrating this. And that's just with where we're at today in 2025 with AI technology, assuming whether it's LLMs or other sorts of algorithmic machine learning, that not all of them are LLMs, that can get us to that point of being proactive. That's probably the standard eventually. But it's nascent right now. It's like, we're trying things as new products. Not everybody's got this. It's not a slam dunk. And we'll see. how that goes over the next few years, other than right now, I believe. I'm typically a skeptic, but I'm into the AIML stuff, I believe. Yeah.
It's not going away, that much I know. Is everybody going to adopt it? That's a different story. I mean, there'll always be skeptics and people who want to be 100% hands-on. But I think when you see the value and see how much time it possibly can save you, it's very, very useful if it's done correctly and it's not just a marketing label.
Exactly. Okay. Well, Holly, that's probably enough for an introduction on network monitoring. We crammed a half hour into about an hour, and as is usual for us. So, oh boy. Well, Holly, where can people find you on the internet?
LinkedIn, mostly. I think that's where I'm most active. So.
Okay. I know you're not super active on social because you know you work and so on. Yeah. So but Holly Metlitsky, you can find her on LinkedIn. Thank you for listening to NS for Networking today. I'm Ethan Banks. You can find me on LinkedIn too. I'm pretty active there. I try to post something once or twice a day, at weekdays anyway. You know, weekends, I pretend LinkedIn doesn't exist. But I'm Ethan Banks. You can find me there. Holly and I will chat with you again next week. We're going to explain more jargon concepts, big ideas from the world of packets. And if you have comments, questions, or a topic request, something like we got one in last week. Someone wants to talk about overlay and underlay. We'll get there. We're going to get to a show on overlays and underlays for sure. But you can let us know whatever your request is at packetpushers.net/follow-up. And Holly and I will do our very best for you. The other place you can find Holly and I beyond LinkedIn is the Packet Pushers Community Slack group. You can join that for free at packetpushers.net/community. Please do. There's no catch. No one's tracking you. No one's just go join the Slack group. People from all over the world are in there. Lots of different channels for whatever topic you want to hit. And every podcast that we publish has its own, goes into its own dedicated channel. So you can talk about specific episodes in there if you want. And please share NS for Networking with your colleagues and your peers and your friends and your mom. Your mom needs to listen to the show 100%. We would we really appreciate that. And just remember that networking isn't hard. Other people figured it out, so you can too.